Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosman. Today I'm joined by Amanda Palmerchuk, who is the lead ABM strategist over at Scrappy ABM. Amanda, thank you so much for joining me today.
Wow, what an intro. That was awesome.
No one puts us on... I am super stoked you're here. No one puts us on 2x speed on the very beginning. We do end up getting a little bit more calm, but I'm super excited for you to be here. For those of you that don't know, Chuck, which is what we lovingly call her over here at Scrappy, because a couple of Amandas, but Chuck leads a lot of our client strategy. So what we wanted to work through today is just a couple of stories of past ABM programs that have been run successfully, just some easy, simple tips of things that you can go and start to execute today. And also anything that Chuck, as we've both been running ABM programs, just some things that we would recommend avoiding so that you can save yourself a lot of heartache and pain trying to get this thing off the ground. So that said, Chuck, we're going to work through a program you built previously for a global manufacturing company, specifically in the eyewear space. So that said, Chuck, when you think through the audience, how did you determine the right people to even be going after for this program?
That is a great question, especially whenever you are a global brand and it's easy to want to go after everybody, or there is like quite a large total addressable market. So essentially what we started with is those specific accounts that are already engaging with the brand, those that already know who you are and are showing those signals that they are interested and they would like to learn more about what you have to offer.
When you then think through getting more granular, because when we've worked with some global brands, they're like, we should go after everyone and every market right at the same time. We want to do ABM, but can we do ABM for 80 countries at the same time? As you were having that conversation with this organization, how did you help them to find that focus on where they should be deploying their efforts on the front end?
Great question. My key tip, I think that is for the most successful ABM program you could put together, is all in the segmentation. And as you mentioned, it's, you want to go after everybody. You want to go after all of the different regions. You want to go after all the entire buying committee. And when you really break that down and segment out your decision makers and your influencers by country and then by language. And so then you add on the translations and then add in the different messages that you have to take, it becomes a massive program. And I think that's where a lot of programs end up going stale or end up like getting just paused because there's so much to take on. So what we did was we created kind of a mind map of all of the different areas that we would want to go after, and then pulled out the buying committee and then pulled out what they care about, what they don't care about. And you can start seeing, I use this analogy a lot with the clients, the spaghetti noodles of all of the different paths you can take. So when you dwindle all of that down, really the key factor is who's engaging with the brand, who's in market, and what is going to give you those initial wins to prove that ABM works. And that's where you should start.
So as you then think through this program, where did you guys end up launching the pilot to get it rolling?
So we ended up in the US because that's where we had the most access to content, which is also a really big component. Starting with content you already have that can be repurposed and adjusted and updated to fit personalization for the account or the person in the buying committee that you are reaching out to. That definitely helps get something up off the ground versus spending too long building.
So as we then think through, we've nailed down specific groups we're going to focus in on. We've nailed down the exact target accounts or the at least audience that we're focused on. How did you then think through the different distribution channels to actually get in front of these different accounts?
That's also a really great question. I know I keep saying that, but you're asking such good questions. It started with identifying which channels notoriously have worked with the audience. So we had tons of data to look at when it comes to the email strategy, when it comes to outbound sales tactics, ads, and took all of the engagement data that had been historically documented to see, okay, where do we tend to win and where should we repeat that tactic? And then in addition, started researching these particular accounts and where they spend their time. Is it an industry forum? Do they like to go to events? Are they big podcast listeners? And really going back to the persona level details, then you can get really creative and identify where those groups are and start getting your message out that way with some good networking.
I think people often just over engineer ABM and they don't think our audience is already showing up in these places. What if we just did that, but more and better? I think that is a really helpful just thought process. How did you determine the best channels from a performance perspective? Because the flip side of that is some channels, though they do work well, don't show up super well in a CRM, like social as an example. So how did you actually determine the performance of some of these different channels to then say these should be a part of our program?
That's a great point. I would say don't shy away from like the manual component of social and some of that like boots on the ground work that has to be done. It took a lot of communication with the team that's actually doing those tactics, and then also screen shares and just keeping each other up to date on what's happening on those fronts that you don't necessarily get to see in a pretty dashboard. And it's a little, it can be gritty. You definitely start seeing the impact quickly, and you can take that information and then you can prioritize in your CRM and then run with it. I would definitely say the more stand-ups, the better the communication within the team is definitely where it's at.
I love it. So you've already referenced that you had a great content library available to you. As you think through the different content assets that we were using in those different distribution channels, how did you determine the right content to repurpose for this program?
Okay, so figuring out what content to use. The best tip or trick I could say that we still do, even in like our programs today at Scrappy, is aligning content with the progression stages, or what you would probably have heard back in the days, like your customer journey or like the funnel. So you have content that is specific for education or awareness, and then you have content that's going to offer that soft conversion for those that are already engaging and they're ready to take that next level. Asking somebody for a meeting the first time you email them is not necessarily best practice when it comes to your ABM journey and putting stuff together for your progression stages. So mapping that out was the first thing that we did. We took a look at blogs, articles, white papers to see what the existing CTA is, if there needed to be tweaks to that to make sure that it felt very not transactional, but literally we're just giving this information over so we can start building that thought leadership and the relationship. And then all the way down to, okay, what is a really good conversion point where we're still providing value and offering up some good content and have a higher likelihood for someone to convert?
That then begs the next question, which is, as you then think through content creation, how did you then prioritize the creation of net new assets for this program?
So it really just depends on, once you map everything out, where are your gaps? That was also something very interesting. You think that you probably have a ton of awareness content and you don't have enough more like conversion content, and you start looking at it and it's actually, no, it's the opposite. I've actually been asking everybody for a meeting and I don't have anything that is thought leadership. So once you organize everything into those different buckets, prioritize where you don't have any content so you can have a full funnel or full progression experience for your target accounts. And then from there, it's just all about iterating, optimizing, making it better, and staying on top of just trends and tips and tricks.
And I have to tell a quick story. Just as I think through this, it was one of the things that I thought we were doing extraordinarily well at the awareness stage. And fun fact, Scrappy ABM is currently being put through the Scrappy ABM process. So Chuck is actually our lead strategist. And we were talking about our awareness level programming. And I think I said something to the extent of, we don't need any more help here. We've got this totally nailed down. But if you Google Scrappy ABM, we don't come up in any searches. There is actually quite a large gap at the awareness stage if you don't already know about me personally as Mason Cosby. And Chuck pointed that out. So even if you think, I also just appreciated the way that our team approached it of looking at not just awareness content, but also awareness distribution, because you may have lots and lots of content, but it may not be distributed or in different formats that are easier to distribute because we do have lots of awareness content. It just only happens to live in the least discoverable channel of all time, which is podcasting, and then our social channel. So if you're not following me on social and you're not in our podcast, we are nearly impossible to find. And that was a really helpful unlock for us. And some we've actually changed a lot of our strategy moving forward to be more easily discoverable in other places. So again, even if you're heavy on certain content assets and content types, think also through distribution to make sure that you are easily discoverable or have great awareness programming in multiple places where your audience is living, where your audiences are living.
That's a great point, especially with it forces you actually to repurpose content too. So like you're not going to have potentially a link to the full podcast, but then that's an email, right? You just pull out like all of the highlights or like the top five tricks and then link the podcast down below and send it out via email, or it could be a blog article or that sort of thing. I love that. And I definitely think it helps you be more creative when it comes to how your audience wants to even receive your content.
Yeah. So I'm curious, as you then think through the actual tracking and how do we know if we're winning or losing? Obviously, ABM does take more than just an email, despite what many people would prefer. It's not direct response. It's a relationship build. So as you think through tracking, what were the things you guys were looking at to know this program is moving in the right direction or we need to make some adjustments?
Yeah. So what we would do is break this out into metrics that align with the progression stage that the account is in. So looking at accounts that are in awareness and metrics, did they see our ad or did they even open our email versus expecting to start seeing like opportunities created. So having metrics that align with those progression stages for more of the initial engagement, meaningful engagement, it's okay, did they click on the content that was sent to them, not just look at it, but actually engage with what is on the page? How long were they on the page? Did they scroll all the way down? There's tons of tools like Hotjar, for instance, that you can use to see where people are falling off on your content. And then waiting until you get to the point of that actual conversion, like you've taken the account all the way through the stages to identify, okay, are we converting? Are these turning into meetings? And then very last is, are those meetings turning into opportunities? That I think is like the also the gap that can be a telltale sign of if you're even targeting the right people or if you need to adjust your ICP or your decision maker actually isn't the decision maker at all. So those were definitely like the components. And then at the end of the program, of course, what we all want to know and see is pipeline and then close won revenue. Within those categories, there's pipeline velocity. If you are speeding up the time in which a opportunity turns into close won, and then deal size. Are they bigger than normal average deals that would be coming through that wouldn't be a part of the program? Those would be some basic probably starting points. So you have metrics throughout each stage and then benchmarks. Use benchmarks to determine, okay, is this average? Is this normal? Is it below average? And that can help point in the right direction. If maybe half of the progression stages are working better than the bottom half, then you know where you need to optimize or where you need to spend time and focus when you break it out that way.
I love it. Yeah. It almost always comes back to account engagement, pipeline, and revenue. Yeah. And yes, you can break it down further and then you should break it down further depending on the program. But I especially love increasing average sales, increasing average contract values, and just overall, are we actually seeing influence and pipeline velocity increase? So I think those are great call outs. Chuck, as we come to a close with just three last quick questions, as you look at what has worked with past ABM programs, and then specifically this program we just walked through, like what are things that have become non-negotiables and non-starters that make ABM programs more successful for you?
It's spending, that's so easy. And given what I had mentioned earlier on this episode, it's the strategy when it comes to your segmentation. It is all about segmentation, honestly. And it's about identifying who is already engaging with you and aligning the message with that. So spend the time to actually break down your audience. Don't treat everybody the same. It doesn't have to be like one-to-one personalized experiences for 200 plus accounts. It can be as simple as just what the pain is and where they are in the progression stages. But definitely spend the time to actually think through what the segmentation should look like and where you would break out your audience based off of what information they want to see.
I love it. What are some things you've been seeing that aren't working, but people are still trying to do with ABM?
This is going to be a fun one. Things that are not working. Asking somebody that is considered in awareness or has been like cold, asking them for a meeting. I still see that all the time. Or I did get some feedback that there was potentially a lot of touch points in a progression model or throughout the stages that felt like it was a lot or overwhelming because you do take the time to create that journey. So I would say don't rush it. Also, I see a lot of people trying to rush it or do some awareness content and then immediately also ask for a meeting based off of if they even opened an email or clicked through it. But just take your time to walk them down the journey, tell the story. That would definitely be one. What I'm not seeing is I don't see enough people really like breaking down the power of direct mail or like really unpacking what impact that could have towards a soft conversion point or even like asking for a meeting. So, which is also, it's like a fun tactic. So I would say that would be something that I think more people should definitely start at least trying.
I love it. And then last question for you is just, if you think back to your first ABM program, what is one thing you wish you had known before you had gotten started?
That you should not expect to see revenue in the first execution of your program. It takes time to build an awesome program and it takes effort and it takes very like intentional effort and I guess touch points throughout the progression stages. So if you're launching something and expecting to see like revenue close one, but you also have a sales cycle that's 9+ months, counterintuitive. And I think just resetting those expectations and stick with it. Just stick with it. That's the other thing. I think a lot of people abandon it too soon because they're not seeing what they thought, just misaligned expectations.
Yeah. We actually just updated our agreements to require a 6-month minimum, because if you're not going to at least see it through for 6 months, you'd be better off saving the money and investing in things you're already doing. So I couldn't agree more. Chuck, this has been super helpful. If people want to find out more about you, where would you point them?
Yeah, LinkedIn. Find me on LinkedIn. Amanda Palmerchuk. PalmerChuk.
Love it. And if you like Chuck, you can work with her. Just go to scrappyabm.com. At the top right-hand corner of this button says, let's chat. So we can chat and you can work with Chuck. So Chuck, this has been super helpful. Thank you again for joining me today. We will see you guys in the next one. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.